There we go. Now let's do this. Again, it's really good to see all of you. Welcome to our conference on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's something we've been talking about doing for a little over a year, I guess, because we did this sort of a faster version in Brazil about 13 months ago. And so we knew we wanted to do something like this at home. And so here we are. Let me make a few announcements, and then we'll pray and get going. How about that? Alrighty. Thanks to the worship team. It's awesome. We have worship every night. And my prayer has been that this conference will be both very practical and very powerful. And so you'll encounter God in some really powerful ways, but it'll be very practical to you. And our intention, just like the sort of advertisement, is that you'll come away with a better understanding of the gifts of the Spirit and a real clear understanding of what your personal ministry gifts are and how to flow in them and to have the Holy Spirit breathe on them and how to move into other areas of manifestation of gifts or even ministry gifts. So that's our what we're after. You got the schedule in front of you tonight, tomorrow morning. Let me just encourage you this. If you need to kind of get your bones rattled a little bit, shake off some cobwebs, some spiritual cobwebs, sort of get the dead religious spirit off of you, just religious spirit, the scripture says there's a good religion, but there's a dead religious spirit. So if you want to get some of that off of you so that you can receive more during the week, then I would encourage you to come in the morning to Rock Mass. And Rock Mass is the Eucharistic service we have every Thursday morning for our school. And so let me just go ahead and say this to you for those of you who come from a sacramental world. Sacred space, to me, the most sacred space of all is you. Jesus died on the cross not for stuff, he died for people. And so I honor things and respect that kind of stuff. But the most sacred space are folk. That's what Jesus died on the cross for. So if you get offended with riotous worship in the midst of sacred space, you might want to not come in the morning. But if you want to come and see some, go for it, full out expression of freedom, then it's not part of the schedule. Actually, we put it on there just so you would know. But we have Rock Mass at 9 o'clock in the morning. Our first session starts at 9:30. So you don't have to come. You're not required to come, but I double dog dare you to come. But just don't get in the way if you come, all right? That's the only instruction I can give you is physically don't get in the way, all righty? Or somebody will get hurt, and it probably will be you. So you can sit back there and stay out of the way. Stand really up against the wall really tight. That might help. Tomorrow we have our session at 9:30. There's actually a couple of sessions there. We have our noon service we do every day, our prophetic and healing Eucharist. And then at 2:30 in the same schedule is on Friday. So look forward to you being here and being a part of all that we're going to do. One of the things I want to do before we start tonight, and we'll do this every night, is that we want to take up an offering for As and Roars. And let me just, for those of you who've been to these conferences before, you've heard me say this, but what comes in this week for As and Roars, I personally don't get one single penny. So this isn't about me trying to raise money for me. As and Roars is a ministry that was begun, how long ago, Karen? Does it say on here? No. 4 years ago? And so there was an As and Roars website for years before that, but it actually became a ministry. It's not a CEC ministry, though most people involved in it are CEC, but it's an ecumenical ministry just committed towards helping to steward revival on a personal level, corporate level, and geographical level. So As and Roars does ministries here. We do they've done stuff in different nations and different states for sure. Some of you have followed each other all over the country and the world, literally. The Wits are here, and we're all younger than we look. We're just really tired from running around. So what happens, we have As and Roars exist as a ministry because of the work of Karen Welch. And she's at the heart of it. She makes everything happen, makes all this stuff work, all these conferences work, keeps the website up, posts the prophetic stuff, the devotional stuff, does all the things. And on a very, very, very meager, it's almost exaggeration in terms of big salary. She works on a very meager salary. So As and Roars goes to help her salary so it can continue to function and to pay for the administrative stuff that she has to pay for to make it work. And so I just encourage you to give. Well, again, if you didn't bring your checkbook, we'll do this again tomorrow night, Friday night. I don't apologize for doing this because, one, I don't get a penny, and the other, I believe in what we're doing. And so we got a couple of guys who can, or people, it doesn't have to be guys, who can pass the plates. And if you'd like to write a check out to Aslan, A-S-L-A-N, Roars, then you can do that, or you can just put cash in there. Okay? If you put a $100 bill in there, we will not give you change, by the way. So if you, we'll just believe that that's probably God. So let's pray for a second. Give you a chance to write checks. Well, Father, I just thank you for, as it were, thank you for the ministry that you've used, Lord, to touch really thousands of lives. And so I just pray for just real favor and for those who give, God, that they would know the actual practical consequences of sowing into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay? My favorite part of the conference is this. The kisses. And they're dark chocolate, which means they're healthy. Jesus. They are filled with the gift of exhortation. And the gifts of healing are resonant in dark chocolate. They're also a prophetic sign that God is good. Alrighty, let's just take this out for a spin and see what the Lord does. Anna, you want to pray for me? That's what you get for talking so much. Amen. I was watching a little bit today just for the fun of it. My first real introduction to much teaching about the gifts of the Spirit was through John Wimber. And I love John Wimber because his personality was a little bit like mine. He was just real laid back, never raised his voice. And when he taught, it was almost like a seminar. And yet God just did what he did and moved like he did. And so if you're expecting to get yelled at or that kind of thing, so you come to the wrong place. And I just want to share some stuff, information that would be revelation into your heart as to what God wants us to learn about the gifts of the Spirit. No matter how seasoned you are, how long that you walk with the Lord, I believe that you'll learn some things this week that are relevant to your life and your ministry. And, okay? Because we're not going to talk about the 9 gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk about the 17 gifts of the Spirit that are listed in Scripture. Doesn't mean that's all the gifts that there are, but that is the amount that's in Scripture. And amazing to me, if you go buy a book on the gifts of the Spirit, especially among charismatics, I've never, ever seen a book written by a charismatic on the gifts of the Spirit that does anything other than talk about the 9 gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. And I've never seen a book written by an evangelical who wasn't charismatic, who knew what in the world they were trying to, so they didn't even try to talk about the 9 gifts of the Spirit that are in 1 Corinthians 12. And so it's really important for us that we kind of understand all this. And again, I believe no matter how long you've walked with the Lord, God's going to teach you some things. God's going to do some impartation in your life. And you're going to be a better servant in his vineyard as a result of this, okay? So I'm just going to go through some stuff. That way I've got these notes. These are actually the notes I've just added to some that we did in Brazil. But I'm just going to stick to this so that we're not here all night long. So I'll stick to the point, okay? The fruit of the Spirit is primarily for you, though others get to enjoy them. The gifts of the Spirit are primarily for others, though you get to enjoy them too. Both the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit are manifestations of the life of Christ lived in and through you by the Holy Spirit. It says in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit's number one role and task is to emphasize Jesus, to glorify Jesus. It's literally the word emphasize Jesus. The primary thing that Azenor's ministry is about, the primary passion of my life is simply this, is that, and I pray this every day for my congregation. I pray this for the diocese. I pray this for the archdiocese. I pray this for the CEC. I pray this for my family members. And that is this, is that, and for myself, that I would steward well the fullness of Christ. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, for all the fullness of deity is embodied in him, and you have been made full in Christ. If you're in Christ, you share the fullness of Christ. Not the halfness of Christ or the quarterness of Christ, but the fullness of Christ. And again, this really familiar passage of Scripture, if you've heard us do some conferences before, from Ephesians chapter 1, what it says about the church. It says in verse 22 and 23, he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and is in all. If you're a member of the church, then you're part of the body of Christ. And Christ, therefore, is in every member of his body. That's what makes you the body of Christ, is the presence and the life of Christ in you. And he is in all, and he's there to fill you with all. So it's not enough that you manifest the fruit of the Spirit. I grew up in the context of my spirituality, that was the main thing, the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm so grateful, because when I started walking the Lord, for those of you who know my story, I was mentally ill. So to know the supernatural activity of Christ by the Spirit, releasing and manifesting love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, goodness in me was really important. Stabilized my life, transformed my life. But it wasn't until a few years later that I was able to put the other part of the puzzle together. Jesus wasn't just who he was also what he did. And he didn't just have holy character, but he also destroyed the works of the devil. So he didn't just know victory inside of him, he also released victory through him to destroy the works of the devil everywhere he went. And so Jesus was not just about himself manifesting holiness, he was about others experiencing the kingdom of God. And so to walk in the fullness of Christ and to experience and express, to steward well the fullness of Christ, means that you're flowing freely in the gifts as well as experiencing the reality of the fruit of the Spirit. You can't have one without the other. Again, both are manifestations of the life Christ lives in you and through you by the Holy Spirit. Let me read this scripture to you because it'll be relevant. Let's see, beginning in verse 10. This is verse 7 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives. And he gave gifts to men. And now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? And he who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave some. Now, these aren't the gifts of the Spirit. These are the gifts of God to the church, these few things I'm about to mention. And he gave some as apostles to the church, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, and some as teachers. Now, there is the teaching gift, but these are offices. Listen to what he says about them. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers are gifts to the church to help equip the church to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, the fullness of Christ, so we can grow up to a full the maturity, the full stature of the fullness of Jesus. And that's what revival looks like. The closer you get to the full stature of Jesus, the more revival's manifested. Alrighty? It is not God and the gifts. It is God in the gifts. Let me just say this to you. Tomorrow, the next day, most of those notes, you have them, you'll have them. This is introductory tonight. The fact that you have notes at all coming from me is a sign and wonder. Karen, is that the truth? Amen. Yep. It's a miracle, and it's a miracle I didn't kill myself in the process of trying to get them all together. The gifts aren't expressions of a thing God gives you. They are manifestations of the life of Jesus released through you and among you. Again, it's the fullness of Christ, and without the gifts, the fullness of Christ can't be realized. Now here's the other thing. I read you that verse, or quoted that verse from Colossians 2, 9 and 10. And you have been made full in Christ. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 says, and God has abounded all grace to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Ephesians 1, 3 says, for we have been, we, plural, that's all of us, have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So all the fruit of the Spirit are a spiritual blessing. All the gifts of the Spirit are a spiritual blessing. They're already resident in you because Jesus lives in you. You got them all. Somebody say to me, well, I don't have the gift of that. Yeah, you do. Now, that may not be your ministry gift, but all the gifts are in you because Christ is in you. 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3 says, and God has granted us everything, past tense, that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. Because of your union with Christ, because you're in Christ, because you're in union with Him, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Because you're in union with Him, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. Because of your union with Christ, everything that Christ has, and He has all the gifts and all the fruit, is resident inside of you. Spiritual breakthrough is not about God breaking through to you. It's about you breaking through into the things God's already done for you and in you. It's a breakthrough of faith. That may help you because we pray for breakthrough all the time. We're in a season now, we're praying for the Perez anointing. The Perez anointing is breaching barriers. So again, one of the things I proclaim every day, pray about every day in my own life, in my congregation's life, is that we'll breach barriers. We'll go places we've never gone before in all these different arenas and areas. So we never stop breaking through into what's already ours. We're not trying to get something from God that you don't have. It's about entering in by faith in the things that's already yours. You with me? To affirm the gifts, to affirm them, is to welcome Him. Here's another thing. Remember that the gifts of the Spirit are gifts. They're not rewards. They're gifts. They're not rewards. They're not things you have to earn. You just have to receive what you've already received. It's about faith. Now, does God play a sovereign role in terms of what your ministry gifts are? For sure. But still, we'll see more about that a little bit tonight and tomorrow. The elementary principle of the world that Colossians talks about is this. Achieve, work hard so that you can finally receive something from God. But the gospel says you've received everything so that you can now go out and achieve in Christ for God. Alrighty? You don't... Mark, Finley and I talked about this over the years. You're not moving towards union with Christ. You're moving from union with Christ. You were born into union with Christ. You're born into Christ. And therefore, if you're in Christ, Christ is in you. There's this co-mingling, this mutual indwelling. And you live from that place, not for that place. We'll see more about that in a few minutes. Well, that's actually the next thing I was going to take. Believing from our union with Christ is how we walk in everything in the Christian life. So we believe from the anointing, not towards the anointing. Too much teaching in the body of Christ is that we're always reaching out towards something that we don't have. But if you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, if God has already granted to you everything that pertains to life and godliness, then you're moving from something that you have, not towards something that you hope to get. Amen? That's why it says that Galatians 2:20 passage, literally, this is the literal translation. The King James gets this one right. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live from my union with him. That's how Christ lives his life through me, as I live from him, by him. Okay? Let me read this scripture about the anointing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed, past tense, us, plural, is God. Jesus lives in you. The very word Christ means anointed one. The anointed one is your life. You live from that place, that reality. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as his engagement ring. That's what the word pledge means. All right? Let me see how I'm doing. I'm doing good. I think. Every one of you have at least one ministry gift. All the gifts are resident in you, but every one of you have a ministry gift. Your ministry gift will help to define the role you play in the body of Christ specifically. We'll see that you don't have to just have one, but you were all born into the kingdom with one functioning. All the gifts are resident in you, but your ministry gift, every one of you were born in the kingdom with that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. But I can't tell you how many Christians I know who couldn't tell you at all what their ministry gift is. And particularly if they think somehow they can't, I don't know if I've ever prayed for anybody who's gotten healed, I've never gotten a prophetic word, I don't get words of knowledge. We're going to stir all that up in you because God can do that for sure. But that doesn't mean that you don't have a ministry gift in you. It's just that your only thing you're looking at is that. So that's why tomorrow we're going to save the gifts of the Spirit fall into two categories: service gifts, sign gifts. They're all supernatural. We're going to do the sign gifts, the more, quote, sensational ones, on Friday. We're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow and talk about the service gifts. So I'm going to give you a little thing you can think about between now and tomorrow. If you're sitting at a table with a number of people, and you have a child there, probably 7 years old, so young enough to still mess up, but old enough to have some responsibility, and that child spills its milk, how would you respond to that child spilling its milk? And the way you'd respond to that will reveal what service gifts you flow in. Okay? Hopefully I get your curiosity up. All the gifts of the Spirit, service gifts, and sign gifts are supernatural. The sign gifts are more sensational, but it doesn't mean that they're more transrational. They're all the gifts of the Spirit, and everything that the Spirit does is supernatural. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 4, it says, let me just say this to you again. Even though we're spending 3 days together, there's no way I have time to go through all the scriptures. We could do this for a couple weeks, we could. And we'll have some time tomorrow afternoon and maybe Friday afternoon, ask some questions. But that doesn't mean I'm going to be able to answer them, because I don't have all the answers. All I might do is raise questions in you. But if raising questions in you make you seek the Lord about the gifts of the Spirit, then I'm happy with that. Because I'm going to tell you the main reason we're doing this conference, we're talking about the fullness, because we want to be obedient to Scripture. It says, earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. That's what it says. And why in the world would it say earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, yet the church doesn't earnestly teach about them? And this is really a word for leaders. Because even charismatic leaders, many, they're real comfortable with the service gifts because they kind of help make things work and function, but the sign gifts can be a little scary. And you've heard me say this before. We're so scared of the poop, we restrict the power. And let me just, again, you're going to walk in the power, you're going to have to deal with a little poop. That's one of the reasons you're a leader. God's given you a shovel that works. You don't invite poop or encourage poop. But you don't want to so shut down the Holy Spirit that power can't happen. Okay? Verse 4, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries, and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now we'll look at this more tomorrow, and maybe a little bit more tonight, but I don't know about Tom. There are different gifts. There are different ministries. Ministries will be what you sort of flow in that defines your contribution to the body of Christ. But he also says, with those ministries, there are different effects. Let's just say somebody has a ministry of the prophetic, but what you can't do is get jealous because somebody has a bigger ministry than you do. God determines the effects. You just have to go for it in faith. I get tickled sometimes because I have rectors who get really frustrated and get kind of discouraged and down the mouth because they have a little small church, a little small parish. And they feel like they're a failure because they want to have something bigger so they feel successful. And I'm thinking, most churches throughout church history have been pretty small, and somebody's going to have to minister to those people, so why are you too good to do that? Somebody has to. So is that okay with you? The effects are up to him. Everybody wants to be like this teacher or that teacher. Just be the teacher God's called you to be in faith. We'll talk about that. And let God determine the influence. But you're going to spin your wheels wishing you were like this person or that person. Okay? So there are different ministries. There are different effects. And he talks about the word manifestations. And what we're going to discover is any one of the gifts can come forth in your life at any time. Doesn't mean that's your ministry gift, because the gifts of the Spirit can also be very situational. Manifestations of the Spirit are situational. Ministries are residential. That's where you kind of live. So your ministry may be teaching, your ministry may be serving, your ministry may be helps and a couple of things like that, but doesn't mean you can't give the prophetic word. As a matter of fact, you should long to. He says, desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit, especially that you might prophesy. That's true for all the gifts. We have to be available to Jesus to do anything he wants to do, right? So you're going to have ministry gifts we're going to talk about that's going to be residential. That's the thing you kind of live. It's where you live, sort of. There's also situational manifestations, where at any time the Holy Spirit chooses to, he can manifest the gifts of the Spirit through you. That's the life of Christ. That's situational. But all of them are supernatural. There are also offices, which we talked about in Ephesians, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Those are offices, and we'll see a little bit about the difference of that as we go along. Anyone can move any gift at any time, but not everyone can move in any ministry. You can't have several ministries, though. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. We must not be unaware of the gifts. That's why this conference is important. It's even important for us at CTK. It's important, if you're here at CTK, that you don't live unaware of what your ministry gifts are and how to flow in the manifestation of any gift at any situation and time. The leaders, me, us, people like us, our job isn't manifesting all the gifts. It's to equip you to manifest the gifts. We must earnestly desire them, not passively wait for them. I hear this all the time. Well, if God wants to give that to me, he can. No, he can't. Because you wouldn't steward it well, that attitude. Earnestly desire them. That's what he says. He didn't say passively wait for them. The Corinthians were getting it wrong about the gifts. Yet Paul's word to them in chapter 12, 13, and 14 wasn't to shut it down, but was to go for it and get it right. But one of the reasons we struggle with that in the body of Christ, because that takes work. And learning how to steward the gifts of the Spirit, man, we need to sit down sometime and tell some of the stories over the last few decades. We've had some amazing, we were laughing about it the other night, somebody, some funny stories. Sometimes not so funny, but funny. They're funnier now afterwards than they were then. But again, the Corinthians, the letter that Paul wrote and the chapters he wrote was not to get them to shut it down because they were getting it wrong. He actually told them, I want you to go for it even more, but I want you to get it right. All right? I used to hear people say, well, I want to seek God, not the gifts. He is the gifts. If the gifts are a manifestation of his life, then that's a silly thing to say. Why can't you have both? I think they come with the stuff. They're part of him. You can't... The solution to abuse is not disuse, but proper use. The gifts of the Spirit are about the love of God made tangible through us. What it comes down to is that spiritual gifts are more about how much God wants to love other people through you than how much He loves you. Even though He does indeed love you, you are a channel of His grace. The gifts have been given to you so that you can channel His love to someone else. Gifts are for giving away. This will help you so much to stop comparing yourselves to others and feeling guilty. Because if you walk in condemnation, we're going to talk about this Sunday, you cannot walk in faith and walk in condemnation at the same time. Moving in the gifts of the Spirit is going to involve confident faith, and you cannot walk in confident faith if your heart's always condemning you. And your heart's going to condemn you if you compare yourselves to others and you don't think you measure up. I see that happen with ministers, with priests. I see it happen with worship people. Well, I'm just not like them. Well, you're not them. Walk in what God's given you. He can have His effects He wants to have. That's not your identity. Your gifts aren't your identity. It's not about how much God loves you. Or if you're walking in more extravagant gifts, or if there's a greater effect, somehow you're more special to God. It's not about you. It's about God using you to love others. Gifts aren't a sign. Listen to this. Gifts are not a sign of how gifted you are, but they are a sign of how loving and giving God is to do something through you for somebody else. It's not a sign of your spiritual greatness, but it's a sign of His goodness. Doesn't that help? Remember again, they're gifts, not rewards. God's gifts to you are never a statement about how much He loves you. Ever. It's just how much God liked to use you because He loves others. They're not gifts for you. They're gifts through you for others. It'd be horrible if every Christmas I were to wake up and find Santa Claus in my den weeping because I got more stuff than he did. And that's the way we live the Christian life, don't we? Gifts are like tools. You have to practice using tools, of which I have very little experience with. Amen. Or do you want me to have any practice with? Listen, let me just say this to you. Last night about 10 o'clock, Livia thought something was terrible happening because she heard this hammering noise. Because we had this strip on our door facing that I personally fixed at about 10 o'clock at night because Livia kept complaining, going out to the porch, how I was messing her up. Now, if you could see how I fix that thing, if you're a very handy man person or handy woman person, you would make you spin over in your grave before you were ever dead. I tried everything. There are nails in that thing, there are screws in that thing, but I'm telling you, it's staying put. And I told her, I said, that's the sound you're familiar with, isn't it? Hammers and stuff. She said, no, I thought the house was falling in. Some animal got loose in the house. Gifts are tools. You have to practice using your tools to get better at using them. The gifts are the tools which enable one to fulfill the ministry required of you. You either use them or you lose them. Now, again, we'll see some more of this over the next couple of days. Altitude determines attitude, not the other way around. If you understand who you are in Christ, seated in heavenly places, you'll move from that place. They're always, everything's from down up, you're in trouble. But if it's from up down, you're going to walk in freedom. Up down is God's given you gifts. He wants to use them to bless everybody else. Down up is, oh God, please, please, please do me more, or oh God, not again. I tell people things like this. When I'm first, I've been walking with the Lord now, it'll be 42 years. And so Dan's been walking with the Lord since like 1912. And 1930, I'm sorry, I knew I was close. but it wasn't soon after that, within a year and a half, it's about 40 years now that I've been teaching the Bible. And I just love to teach the Word. I love to teach the Word. And every opportunity I got to teach, I taught. I don't care if it was 2 people. I don't care if it's 50 people or 2,000 people. And that's true today. If I get a chance to speak the Word into somebody's life, that's like the coolest thing in the world. And that goes a long way with how much the anointing that's on you to walk in that is how you steward the gifting. I've never understood somebody who has a particular ministry gift and they complain about opportunities. Actually, leadership should be protecting them from going too much, wanting to do too much. I mean, how much do I have to pay you, Roxanne, to teach on the Song of Solomon? Not much, that's right. Because you love it. That's part of stewarding. Again, we'll see more about that. Use them or lose them. But the more you show, the more you'll grow in them. Love's always the motive. 8 different times in these verses in 1 Corinthians, he says the gifts are for the common good or for edification. It's for others. It's for building up others. But if I exercise my gift with a wrong attitude, it carries no anointing. It does. And so understand that one of the things of warfare is going to be the enemy constantly attacking you to have a complaining heart or resistant heart about moving in the ministry gifts God's given you. The gifts of the Spirit involve risk, especially the sign gifts. You've all heard this before. Fruit happens out on a limb. If you're not willing to look bad, then God's never going to get to look good through you. This is John chapter 5. Verse 44. How can you believe or walk in faith when you receive glory from one another, and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? He's not talking about glorifying God. He's actually talking about receiving praise from God. He said, if you're concerned about how you look and if you fail, this is particularly true in the sign gifts, if you're only concerned about whether or not you receive glory from men, their applause, their approval, he said, you cannot walk in faith. Because faith requires boldness. But if all you're concerned about is bringing pleasure to Him, receiving His approval, His praise, then you'll go for it. Because if you look bad, it didn't affect Him. It doesn't make Him look bad. And if you look good, it doesn't make you look good. It's all Him. You with me? That's a really powerful verse. You ought to get that verse down inside of you. Because as we take some of the sign gifts out for a spin on Friday, some of you get a chance to move in words of knowledge and prophecy, pray for the healing, that kind of thing. If you're concerned that you're going to fail and look bad, you're still too concerned about whether you're going to receive glory from men. If you're concerned about being foolish, you'll never be faithful. And at my age, I'm still learning that. I used to pray, Lord, pitch them where I can hit them. Prophetic words, but I found myself more and more going, Lord, pitch them where I've never hit them before. Breach barriers I've never been before. Now, how do you find out what your ministry gifts are? Well, first, do what you love to do. It's really complicated. Secondly, do what you're good at. That might be a hint. But not, we're gonna, not in the flesh. The other thing about finding your gifts is that they're spoken to you prophetically. That'll happen some this week. Through the laying on of hands, there's impartation. New Testament talks about that a lot. And there's also how you find your gifts is that do what you like, do what you love, do what you're good at. Under the anointing, there could be impartation could happen to you. But also, there's like this grace that's gradually revealed. As you're seeking God, desiring earnestly the gifts, there'll just be this gradual, incremental, oh yeah, I've never really, wow, just... Partly because teachers who are called to teach aren't just going to come out of the box and be good. The more you teach, the better you are as a teacher. Some people, the more they teach, the worse they are as a teacher. They need to find out they aren't none of that gift. And the scripture says, stir up the gifts within you. For me, like years and years ago, I don't know how long it was ago, some of us went to this conference. I could move in the prophetic some. But I couldn't teach and move in the prophetic at the same time. And I watched a couple people like teach and then give a prophetic word. I thought, well, that'd be cool. So I'd like to do that a little bit more. But what I really want is an increased anointing in my teaching ministry. So I went to this conference, and what ended up happening is that God just blew my doors off prophetically. And I began to have all these visions and move in the prophetic stuff, and all the prophetic ministry began there. And I wasn't really asking for that. I wanted to be able to teach and give some prophetic words. I'm still not that great at that. I can do one thing good at a time. I can give prophetic words and teach, but I can't just like teach and stop and teach usually. But the prophetic anointing was released, and it was through the laying on of hands, words spoken to me prophetically, the impartation. And I didn't even necessarily want it. And then after it happened, I really didn't want it. So I've had to adjust my attitude at times about it still, because it carries some conflict at times. So let me just read this to you about discovering your ministry gifts. The attitude you need to have. Tomorrow we'll do practical things like the spilt milk thing. Here's the attitude. Look for a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Be alert to the cry for help and answer it. Listen for the voice of God and speak it. Identify someone's weakness and overcome it. Look for what's missing and supply it. When you do, the power of God, the energizing, enabling, charismatic activity of the Holy Spirit will equip you. Perhaps only once, but possibly continually. To minister hope and encouragement to those in need. So if you're still wondering what your gift is, might be act first and ask later. So let me give you some insight again, the attitude. Look for a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Be alert to the cry for help and answer it. That could be any kind of help. Listen for the voice of God and speak it. Identify someone's weakness and overcome it. Look for what's missing and supply it. Those are great attitudes to have. One of the things I appreciate that Bill Johnson says is that he was a fourth generation or fifth generation preacher's kid. And he said when he grew up in his father's church, if they needed somebody to work at the bookstore, he worked at the bookstore. If he needed somebody to fill in children's church, he filled in children's church. If he needed somebody to help with this or that, whatever was a need, he just did it. I mean, people don't need to walk around this mystical, well, I just don't know if God's called me to do that. Well, if you're, do it. You better mean you're going to have to do it permanently. Just throw yourself in there and God's going to find somebody who's willing and not resistant, and then he'll steer you into the place you're supposed to be at. Amen? So we made it so complicated. Gifts are given as God desires. That's true. Maybe just real quick verse, because I want to actually going to try to speed us up here. This is 1 Corinthians 12. It says, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. Um, Verse 28 of chapter 12, and God has appointed the church. God has done it. And then he says, all of you aren't this, are you? All of you don't do this, do you? All of you don't do miracles, do you? All of you aren't apostles, are you? And what we would do with that, we'll see. I mean, whatever God wants to do, I'm willing. But that's not the only story here. God does sovereignly do stuff. But he says here, earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. That seems to be a contradiction. No, it's not. Go after it. Pray for it. Pray into it. And then God sovereignly can work. But he can't even work with you. He can't steer you in any direction if you're not willing to move. Right? Let me read some interpretive key for the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the gifts. This is 1 Corinthians 11:17. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you because you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Verse 18. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear there's divisions, yada, yada. Verse 20. Therefore, when you meet together, verse 33. Then, my brethren, when you come together, verse 34. So that when you come together, 14:26, when you assemble, so a lot of the things that happen in terms of gifts of Spirit happen in the context of the body of Christ coming together. That's where you're going to. That's where we grow in the gifts. We take them out for a spin. The different manifestations. We all flow in our ministry gifts all week long. But in a church context, we want the manifestations of all the gifts to be able to come through anybody. But if you don't come prepared, willing, and eager, it's not going to happen. You hear me? If you don't come prepared, willing, and eager, I earnestly desire, oh God, I hope Bishop doesn't ask me to give a word. No, you should be going, God, I pray Bishop gives me a word. Because if I do, you're going to do it. You're going to go for it. Right? It's not about you. It's about others. God may want to speak a word through you that will change somebody's life. Now, he'll raise up somebody else, but that's no fun. Why would you want God to use somebody else to change somebody's life when he would like to use you to change life? Remember I said the fruit's mainly for you, but people get to enjoy it. The gifts are mainly for others, but you get to enjoy them too. It's cool to pray for somebody to get healed and they get healed. Right? Okay, where am I at the end? I'm not going to keep you to 9 o'clock, though some of you may have cursed the atmosphere with that word, but I'm not this first night. You may be here tomorrow night, the next night till 9. But here are the lists of the gifts in Scripture. All right? Service gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are listed in 3 different places in Scripture. In the 1 Corinthians 12 passage, verse 28, 1 Corinthians 12:7, and well, I keep making up names, don't I? I should probably give you the right word. begins in verse 8 of chapter 12 and goes down through verse 10. Yeah, that's one place. The other place where the gifts of the Spirit are spoken of is in Romans chapter 12. And then the other one is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 that I read to you already. So it's not a bunch of different places. So here are the gifts. Here are the service gifts. Administrations. And you got this on your piece of paper you're going to get tomorrow. You're going to get all this. So you have to worry about writing it down. It has the scripture. Yeah, we just did everything for you, okay? Because I have the gift of administration. Yes. Yes, that's right. That's right. I also have a lying spirit, so you can cast it. The gifts of administrations, exhortation, giving, helps, leadership or ruling, mercy, service, and teaching. All right? Now let me just say this to you, all of you CTKers. If there's any way possible, to me, if you're a CTKer, being here tomorrow is more important than being here Friday. It's so important. I wish every clergy in the CEC was here. I'll just give you a little hint, because the gift of helps and service, some people think they're the same, they eliminate one. The gifts of helps is the supernatural anointing to be an assistant, to assist. And one of the worst things I see happen sometimes is clergy clamoring for promotion. They don't want to be an assistant. They want to be the guy. I want to be the one who teaches all the time. I want to be, just trust God with it. Because one of the things about the gifts of helps, like a lot of the service gifts, it postures you for promotion. But promotion comes either from the east or from the west, from God. It says in Psalm 75, and a good classic example with somebody with the gifts of helps is Elisha and Joshua. I appreciate all my clergy. I can say wonderful things about Ron and Bracken and George and Aaron. Just amazing. But the guy who's been with me the longest is Craig Stahl back there. I've never had Craig clamor for anything. I've never had Craig complain. I've never had him. Now, Craig's got all kinds of ministry gifts, but he also walks in the gifts of helps. He just assists and does. Not the gift of service. Now, Craig was the worst deacon in the history of the world in terms of helping. He just wasn't, I mean, it wasn't like he didn't like to help. He just served. He just went past him. I would get dressed over here. My stuff used to be there. There's a mirror on the other side of the door. And Craig's job when he first got ordained deacon, one of his things was to help me get vested. And regularly, every Sunday, I'd say, Craig, would you move out of the way so I could see myself getting dressed? He not only didn't help me, he would get in the way talking to me so I couldn't see myself dressed. So we did the priest thing because the other one wasn't working out real well. But I've never had Craig. I've never felt Craig being disloyal. I've never felt Craig behind my back because of jealousy. I've never helped. And see, we don't think about that as the gifts of helps. That's one of the primary things about the gifts of helps. And so Craig has known promotion, and he will know more promotion as I get older, because he's been faithful to steward that gift with the right attitude. He didn't have to be the guy. He didn't have to be the one who's doing all the stuff. He's very content to be my assistant, to be Joshua. Now, I can say that about all my guys. I'm just picking on Craig because he's just been with me for so long. Here are the sign gifts. These are the nine ones that most charismatics all know. Word of wisdom, faith, working of miracles, prophecy, words of knowledge, gifts of healings, discernments of spirits, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. All right. And I asked the Lord a question. I said, Lord, give me some little simple words. So this is not very profound, about like just so I can speak to them, remind everybody, remind me about how to experience expansion so that you can have the greatest effects you want to have through me. Not what's going to look like anybody else, but he just said, and how to release the gifts of the Spirit in your life. How to discover your gifts, release the gifts of the Spirit, how to flow in the gifts at even a higher level. He said, will you just be 100% available to my will? And I can't wait to hear the next thing that would be cooler than that. And he said, I said, okay, and? Will you be 100% available to my will? I said, okay, I got that one. I've written that down. Next, will you be 100% available to my will? And that means in every arena of your life. In terms of serving the Lord, in terms of your own personal walk with the Lord. He said, if you'll just be 100% available to my will, then there are no restrictions to what I can do in terms of my particular purposes for you. Okay? Well, that's it for the first night. I'm pretty stunned that I got through that in about 8:30. And is this helpful so far?
Yes.
Okay. Well, tomorrow have fun. Again, Think about what you'd do, you at that table where that 7-year-old spilt the milk. Especially if it wasn't the first time it's happened with the same kid. And again, we'll look at the service gifts tomorrow and we'll have fun. We'll try to answer some questions for you tomorrow afternoon. Again, I don't know all the answers. Like I told you before, I have a history with the Lord, which is good. We all have a history with the Lord. I'm beginning to pile up some mileage. And so I've been walking with the Lord for 42 years in April. And I've been teaching the Word for 33 years. I've been teaching the Word actually for 40 years, but I've been stewarding charismatic stuff as a pastor for 33 years. And so that's a pretty good number, 33. So that I have some answers. But I have a lot more questions. But I'm glad I do, because it keeps me seeking the Lord. Amen? Okay. Well, Lord, I just pray that you would take the Word like seed, cause it to grow deep in our hearts, prepare us through the night to have an attitude that earnestly desires the gifts of the Spirit, that earnestly wants to discover more, that earnestly wants to surrender to and embrace wholeheartedly what you've already put in us, so that we can steward well the fullness of Christ, so that you can do all the effects that you want to do through each of us. We don't want to limit you in any way, Lord. Give us holy, passionate, yielded curiosity. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. We'll get some